2010, Living and Dying with Honor, Bible Study Lesson Number 135, and within that series, the sub-series, Obedience to God, a Man, Bible Study Lesson Number 45. Open your Bibles once again. It's the book of Genesis. We're chapter 3. Chapter 4. We're dealing with doctrine that you may think I'm giving you too much information. Every once in a while I run into people and I hear the statement, too much information. How can we have too much information about the Word of the Living God? How can we as finite people have too much information to learn too much about the infinite God? God gave us this Bible. To understand, to take apart, verse by verse, phrase by phrase, line by line, word by word, so we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are called to a life under grace. Salvation and grace which God accomplished for those who believe includes, among other things, the placing of the same in the position as the Son of God, a citizen of heaven, and a member of the family and household of God. As this other position demands a corresponding manner of life, it is to be expected that the rule of conduct is exalted as heaven itself when we committed to the believer. This is precisely what we find, for grace never provides a perfect salvation and eternal keeping. For everyone believes on Christ, but grace provides as well the instructions for the daily life of the one who is saved while he is being kept to the power of God. This instruction for the daily life, it will be found, is a particular revelation from God to Christians only. And it is very gracious in his character, is entirely separate from and independent of any other rule of life which is found in the Word of God. The Bible, being the one book from God for all people of all the ages, contains a detailed expression of the will of God concerning the manner of life of various dispensational classes of people, as they are related to God in different periods of time and in these several corresponding covenants. Among these revelations is the rule of conduct regarding the daily life of those who are saved by grace and dispensation, which occupies the time between the cross and the second coming of Christ. This gracious rule of life is complete in itself and stands alone in the Scriptures, disassociated from any other, and uncomplicated as the teachings of grace. It's a quote from Grace by Dr. Lewis Berry Schaefer, 1922. Chapter 4, The Life Under Grace Introduction, page 80 and 81. God has called us in grace, saved us in grace, keeps us in grace, and we live in grace. Living in grace means understanding what God has and is doing for us in total dependency upon Him. We're told that the last days it shall be as it was in the days of Noah. It shall be as it was in the days of Noah. The days of Noah was the antediluvian civilization. The dispensation of man from the fall to the flood. The word was spoken in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. For the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and David no longer into the ark. And they went up until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. The rapture of the church will come soon. It may be today, tomorrow, this week, this month, this year, few years down the line. I don't know when it will come. Could be 100 years or more away, but yeah, I don't think so. Why? Because if my calculations are correct, the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to the presence of God the Father in His glorified resurrection body as the God-man in 30 A.D. So 20 years from now, the Lord Jesus Christ will have been in the third heaven for 2,000 years. According to my calculations, He was born in 4 B.C. He was born 2,014 years ago. Time is going by. To God it's a day. A day is like unto 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like unto a day. There are things that my wife and I discuss from time to time. She makes comments. We can now see things that people used to speculate about when she was a girl going to Bible conferences in the church and all. When she was in Bible college in Canada. They would talk about things related to the coming trib and stuff, and they said, how could these things be? The same thing in Washington yesterday passed a revolution, or a law, I should say, that says that no one should let the grass in the yard grow more than 8 inches. No one can build a mother-in-law apartment anymore, or separate from the main house. And the ones attached to the main house can only be 800 feet. Commercial trucks can only park on the street for delivery, no certain streets for delivery pickup. Trucks over a certain size can have to be parked in driveways. They call it making the city more livable. I call it more and more rules and regulations set up by a few people to control the lives of everyone. People are being prepared for total control. I was sitting in a restaurant yesterday with a man who was actually in a donut shop. Had a donut, a cup of coffee, something bad for it. And on the TV screen came a discussion of the quote, war on obesity, the need to go to war on obesity. Talked about how we have more fat kids in America than anywhere else in the world. That's because more kids in America have enough food to eat and get to eat 3 square meals a day than anywhere else in the world. Every good gift, every perfect gift coming down the bar from the Father of lights, and in His name, but neither shadow of turning. God has blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. And we appreciate those blessings. As we begin to round down, we're going to see less and less of those blessings. We're going to see more and more of the control of man over man. We're fixing to see a record what happened in the Adamic culture. We're just going to look at it. We're going to go through some very pertinent details. Some of you have some of this before. There'll be new material in there at the same time. As we examine and look at certain things that represent the Adamic culture. We begin it in a couple of classes back, and we should move quicker through as we can in this class. Before we begin, let's pause for solid prayer. Give you time to make sure you know the filling of the Spirit and you have absolute objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Thank you for the privilege of teaching your word. For your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise. Your word will not return void, but it will accomplish everything that you designed it for. And we ask you to make it real in our lives. Sanctify it and bless it. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Protect the word from any false concepts of what I'm teaching and help me get the spiritual import in Christ. Amen. Today, a friend of mine, been a part of my ministry for over a quarter of a century. Close to 30 years now, wrapping that up. Surgery. It's been a lot of aches and pains. A dear friend, one of the pastor who stays in touch with us by email, is going through some serious testing. Yesterday my wife was at the hospital for more 15 days he goes through. The harder you get, the more people you know that are suffering. The more pain and things that are there, and the more that's going on around us. And the answers to how to deal with these things are not found in the world system. They're found looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Jim Jackson, a Special Forces medic that was captured in Vietnam, who appeared on his own with Nick Rowe. Nick heard him pray one night and recorded in his book, the next book, 5 Years to Freedom. Dear Lord, don't take pain. Don't take pain because it makes me know I'm still alive. Please, Lord, please give me the strength to bear it and the strength to keep going. Don't let me quit. Nick says, I heard my silent prayer for him to be heard. I know the pain, the weakness, the anguish. It was a battle each man had to fight with himself. Prayer was our means we had to reinforce ourselves. And it was the best. We have the Word of God to study in this country and we take it for granted. Nick spent 5.5 years praying on the Word of God and didn't have a Bible. The authorities, the lawyers that I knew that were pilots that were held in Illinois, so-called Illinois Hilton, didn't have a Bible. 5, when they finally put them all together, the group, after the Sante raid looking for POWs that they didn't find because they'd moved them out of the camp a few months before they got there. The North Vietnamese moved a lot of these pilots all together in one place. There were 10 Hiltons that became known as the POW camp, where there were several camps within prisons within one. There were around 40-something of them together, and they were camp quarters, and they decided they were going to have church services, and the senior officer got up to things began to be organized, and the North Vietnamese guards came in and told them they couldn't have services. Couldn't do that. Couldn't have a religious thing. Couldn't group together. 2 or 3 of the groups all they could have. Everybody couldn't be together in one group. The first Sunday they didn't do it. They decided they were going to do it the next Sunday. They met the senior officer, polled every single one of them. Are you prepared to do this? Do you want to do this? Well, they knew. And if they did what they were prepared to do in holiness worship service, that some of them were going to be beaten and tortured. They'd been there before. But their commitment was being made. That organized the group down from the top, senior officer, and the compound down so everybody knew where they rank. And the command, when he stood in the chain of command there, to keep his system of order. And what they did, there were 43 of them in the cell. The SRO was Ned Schumann, an aviator. He was the one that pulled them to be sure that they knew what they were going to do. We're going to go through with this. The first son of the Lord said, kind of throwing this race, his book surviving, you know. Someone said, let's have church service. It's a good idea. We all agree. Then POW volunteered to lead the service, and we started yelling in the other end of the ladder, rectangular cell from the cell door. First of all, we got an English-speaking Vietnamese officer who worked as interrogator, burst into the cell with a bill of armed guards. Then she went to the officer to lend any part of it, just going to have a short church service. The response was in order, and that allowed to get a group larger than 3 persons after they could not have a church service. In the next few days, we grumbled that we should not have backed down on our intention of a church service and ought to do so, and do it the coming Sunday. To have the late one step forward, are you really committed having church Sunday. McCarthy Francis had been shot down on April 30th, 1967. Ed Sherman had been shot down on March 17th, 1968. A year later. But he knew the cost that they were going to pay. What they were doing, this was November the 21st, 1970, the Sante raid had occurred. And these people had been brought together, all of these American prisoners of war. Sunday, there was a murmur of assent throughout the cell. Ned said, "No, I want to know person by person if you're really committed." And then he puts the word committed into italics to the church. "We all know the implications of our answer. If we went ahead with the plan, some would pay the price." Stoddard went by himself because he was the senior officer. He went around the cell, praying to each one of his individuals, "Are you committed?" "Yes." Then they moved to Jim, asked the same question. "Yes," Jim responded, and so on until they had asked each of us by name. When the second man said yes, it was unanimous. We had 100% commitment to hold church next Sunday. At that instant, Ned knew he would end up in the torture cells at Heartbreak. It was different from the previous Sunday. We had a goal and we were committed. We needed to develop a plan. Sunday morning came and we knew that they would be watching us again. West Mary and Gary McFarland and the cell, so we moved together. The interrogating guards burst through the door. Ned stepped forward and said there wouldn't be a problem. He was going to hold a quiet 10-minute church service, and then we were spread back out in the cell. As expected, they grabbed Ned and hauled him off to Heartbreak for torture. Our plan favored the second ranking man, the USIO. Stood Rock in the center of the cell, and the clear voice said, "Gentlemen, our center to stand. The Lord's Prayer." We got off number halfway through the prayer when the guards grabbed the SIO and had him out the door toward Heartbreak. As planned, and I met the SIO, stood Rock to center of the cell as a gentleman in the Lord's Prayer. We'd got in the balcony at night, kingdom come before the guards grabbed him, and immediately the number four SIO stood gentleman in the Lord's Prayer. I've never heard five or six words in the Lord's Prayer. As far as we got before they seized him, reciting so loudly, or so reverently, until the enemy shouting, "Stop, stop," when we drove them out. The guards were now hitting POWs with gun butts, and the cell was in chaos. Number five ranking officer was way back in the column, took his stand, moving toward the center. I was number seven. That's where, of course, writing, and he says, "I'm not particularly anxious for him to hurry." But just before he got to the center of the room, the cell became pinpoint quiet. And Bert and me was interrogator. I'm sorry. Yeah, pin drop quiet. And Bert and me was interrogator spit out something to the guards and grabbed number five SIO and they all left locking the cell door behind it. And the number six SIO began gentlemen the Lord's Prayer. This time we finished it. Five previous officers were tortured, but I think they believed it was worth it. From that Sunday on until we came home, we had a church service. We won the loss. 14 men in prison pajamas followed Ned's lead. And I have never seen a better example of pure right leadership or ever pray with a better sense of the meaning of the words. We take things for granted. Now, let's examine the Adamic culture. We point out to you that first it's made up of saved people. Adam and Eve were saved in the garden. And in Genesis 1, secondly, it was made up of unsaved people. From Genesis chapter 4, we discover in the first five verses that Cain was saved and Abel was not saved. We also saw that even though Adam was a prophet, there was some weak leadership. Adam did not challenge Cain. We have no record of Adam taking a stand when Cain murdered his Abel. He was a father who undoubtedly loved his older son, and undoubtedly loved his younger son. his younger son. They had many, really not knowing that children were born to Adam during 129 years after the birth of Abel. Or Cain, 128 years after the birth of Abel, unless they were twins. It's debatable both ways. Now, we saw that Adam's showed the weak spiritual leadership and not taking a stand for when he let his own son to go and do the sacrificing, which was acceptable at over the age of 100, which fits the age of full responsibility of doing the murder and probably fit the age, just guess, in the original typology. The air type would be in the millennium, the 100 being the age of we should reach full maturity and full responsibility. And the longevity being restored, and then the original age, the type would have been 100. During that period of our life. We say that Adam's family was stood in direct contrast to Job's actions as a patriarchal priest in regard to the sacrifices from Job 1:5. We say that Adam's primarily occupied with temporal life, based upon the fact that Adam was the first man of the earth, nay, and earthy, Chorkas, 1 Corinthians 15, 47-49. Who was in contrast to man as a second man who came from heaven. The passage there in 1 Corinthians set up a contrast between the natural man and the spiritual man. Adam was born again and therefore a spiritual man through regeneration. Adam was there for an indefinite period of time, as we point out, he perhaps 1900 years or so, without experiencing the necessity of hard work before the fall, probably 1,000 years alone, about 900 years when he was. My guess, you take whatever ages you want to take. Adam was cast out of the Garden of Eden and forced to work hard to feed himself and his family, Genesis 3, 17 and 18, and verses 22 to 24. Adam's long honeymoon was over, his wife quickly became occupied with motherhood, Genesis 3, 20. Both Adam and Eve were experiencing sorrow for the first time, Genesis 3, 16 and 17. Sorrow was a part of the hard work, and sorrow was a part of childbirth. Adam has suffered the great loss of temporal blessings. The greatest loss in all human history has been the Prince Regent of Jesus Christ, the Creator, the Son of God, the Father by creation. And he lost it all. He lost all the privileges of the garden. The silence of Scripture regarding Adam after he left the garden would have father and live his life and occupation with the trials and struggle in this world. It must have been tremendous depression for Adam when he realized what he lost, the battles of depression all that came to him. What was going on there? And yet Adam, he was still a prophet. He was still a patriarchal priest. He failed. But don't be too hard on Adam. Adam failed in the garden. Don't be too hard on Adam. If any of you or I had been in the garden, we would have done the same thing. I assure you, I have no doubt about that. And the Father knew that this is when I we were Adam. We want to feel how long and dirty we would have been there. Yes, you would have. I've had people say, I wish I'd been alive when Jesus Christ was alive to see Christ. Well, I said, you would have probably been at the cross. If you were a Gentile, you wouldn't know anything about him. Away from my Jerusalem, you were Jew, you wouldn't know anything about him. So that mean area. If you'd have been there, you might, as a Jew, you probably would have been part of the crowd, and so would I, at the foot of the cross, for the palace court, yelling, crucify him, and mocking him. Who do we think we are, that we're so special, that we would have been something? Oh, no, would you? We're sinners saved by the grace of God. Everything we have is a grace gift from God. Adam renamed his wife Eve instead of Ishah, because he became occupied with her as a mother of his children, the race that would come forth. He began to take his paternological responsibilities as a father. He was a father, a family man, a provider, obviously. With a limited spiritual impact. The scripture never mentions any spiritual life accomplishments for Adam, but that was not me, did not have him. We pulled out from Luke 1, 69 and 7 and Acts 3, 21 that there was a prophet from the beginning. He believed he was a prophet. Therefore, we accomplished something. I personally believe he wrote Genesis chapter 2 from verse 4 through Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. Based upon the usage of the way God's name is listed there and certain other things, I'm not the first to come up with this. You'll have to believe it, my opinion. We are listed at the beginning of the spiritual heritage genealogy in Genesis 5, which is a Sethic cultural heritage. This is the book of the generation of Adam in the days that God created man in the likeness of God, made him. See, Adam was made in the likeness of God. Also remember in Luke chapter 3 that he was called the Son of God, that was by creation. And man and female created them and blessed them and called their own Adam in the day when they were created, and Adam lived in 130 years and began a son in his own likeness after his image, and he called his name Seth. In the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth for 800 years, he begat sons and daughters. All the days of Adam were over 930 years, and he died. We saw that Adam had brought an animal sacrifice to the Father at various times during the 129 years before Cain and Abel decided to bring their own sacrifices, because they brought them to a specific altar, to a place. The spiritual heritage of the Sethic culture did not begin until the birth of Enos, which occurred approximately 9 years after the death of Abel, Genesis 4:25-26, with 5:6. And Adam was wrath again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. The God says you appointed another seed instead of Abel, whom God slew. And his choice Seth, he himself also was born a son. He called his name Enos. And the men they call for whatever they are. This does not mean that there were no salvation before this. This was a time of spiritual revival, I believe, or celebrate. This was a time when they moved into paganism. I do not believe this at all. Totally not believe this. Abraham says in Genesis 12:8, he moved from thence to a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel in the west and high in the east, and there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Well, the sacred place of Canaan in the house of God. Bethel, characteristic of all apostles, Jeroboam chose a sacred place in which to erect an altar in 1 Kings 12:28-32 and 1 Kings 13:1-5. Also, the place of divine judgment upon apostles that God should decree the destruction of Bethel despite his sacred numbers in 1 Kings 13:1-5, 2 Kings 23:15-17, Amos 3:14-15. God never hesitates to cast aside that which no longer serves his purpose, Revelation 2:5 and 3:16. But just as Abraham reached the point where he called upon the name of the Lord in a special way, they did so in the days of Seth following the birth of Enos. Genesis 26:25. And he built an altar there and called for the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there and made Isaac's servants be dwell. The days of spiritual culture had begun. Adam, as a patriarchal priest, had to have been the one responsible for Seth letting Adam be saved, which was the beginning of the new spiritual awakening. And those others who were saved up to the birth of Enos. And there was not a full spiritual awakening at that time. The sixth principle that relates to it is population explosion. What I know of expand from the Garden of Eden is no children. Practically, man and metal ever, their first child came with born, Genesis 4:1. God and his wife wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Some Bible teachers believe that Cain was not born until about 30 years after he was expelled from the ground, but there's absolutely no logical reason to accept this idea. The understanding of who they were and where they came from. I believe that Abel was born a year later. But I recognize the fact that he could have been born at the exact same time as Cain. There's a reason for that. I'll explain that a little bit further. I've talked with this before to you. I recognize the fact he could have been a multiple birth that included him that way. So again, she bears brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. The fact that it does not say that Adam knew Eve again is why many people hold to the fact that they were twins. Now, listen carefully to what I've got to say. Cain took a wife with him when he departed from the presence of Jehovah at about the age of 128, Genesis 4, 6. I'm sorry, Genesis 4:16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod in the east of Eden, in verse 17, and he knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. All right, so he had a wife when he went out. Now, Scripture did not mention the birth of any children except Cain and Abel. Since we reject the idea that Cain married a female primate and not a member of the Adamic human race, which some people have taught, that he must have married one of his sisters or nieces. Genesis 4:7-8 says he knew his wife, his sexual intercourse with his wife. A part of that curse that was related to Eve was that she would have multiple births, twins or perhaps triplets or more at a given time in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. And the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, sorrow they shall bring forth children, thy desire shall be thy husband, he shall rule over thee. Now, Father Biblis translated San Canaretto, gives Cain the name Genas, G-E-N-O-S, and states that he had a twin sister named Genea, G-E-N-E-A, who became his wife. The old writers called her Clamoris, C-L-I-M-I-H. The Hebrew writers called her Calmina, K-L-M-E-N-A-H. Logical deduction is that he married his twin sister Julia because he was about 9 or 28 when he married Abel and may have been married for some years. Now, he was also said to have been born with a twin sister who became his wife and was called by the Arabic writer Labuda, L-B-U-D-A. The scriptures never revealed if Abel had any children or not. But since he was 127 at his death, it is a logical deduction. It was unknown, 128 at his death, it is unknown by a logical deduction. It is unknown if Cain had children before he married Abel, but having exiles, Lot gave birth to a son named Enoch. And immediately, he built a city. And the Hebrew word there for city, where it says he built a city, is Arar. It means a place guarded by making a watch. And the wide says even a mere encampment by some. Now, some translate this that he built a village. It is the same word used to describe Sodom. And the city is the same word used to describe the attempt to build Babylon, ancient Babylon. Quite interestingly, as to what we have there. When you come down to the book of Judges and begin to read, and read about Jericho, you find that Jericho, we have the same Hebrew word here, it's used for I. So you ride over there at all. It's used for the strong city of Tyre, so it is not a supplemental word that you can clearly say only represents a little bit of nothing. No. Not at all. Now, in order to get the people to build a city, no matter how small the village may have been or whatever, he fortified it and had it, pray the people to track him down to have him murdered over it. Obviously, he probably had children that had been born to him over a large number of years that were with him. Why did he demand that other people die with him into the exile or later had joined him in exile since he had enough people to build at least a village, a fortified village, if not a city? It was likely some of those were his own children because of his age. Of course, they may have been mad about children there, so that took grandchildren, and that took a whole tribe along with him that he was starting. He may have had 129, he'd been born 129 years ago, his first child, when he was, say, even 30 or 35 years old. With multiple births, he could have had quite a few children, so he went over. He would have been an active limit of Elvis' children if he had any would have joined him in exile. However, scripture is silent concerning that of him who had any children between the birth of Elvis approximately 2 years after the fall. If Elvis was a twin, it was 1 year after the fall. If not, he was 2 years after the fall. So he was either born in 129 or 128. Elvis after the fall. And was married in 130. 129, Seth was married in 130, I'm sorry. After Cain married Abel, he was afraid of being killed by some other people seeking revenge for what he had done. So you take Genesis 4:2. And so then Abel brought Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the vine. You put that with Genesis 5:3. Where it says, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And verse 4, in the days of Adam he had begotten Seth for 800 years and he begat sons and daughters for, it doesn't say how long, but if he begat them as long as it took for, to take you through the birth, procreating children at 500 years of age, you can get a massive number of people. In verse 4:14 it says, the Lord has driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from my face should I be of him, and I should be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and shall come to pass, and everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Everyone that findeth me implies there are a lot of people around. So a lot of them are had children, we had children that may be probably were grandchildren alive and grown by this time or close to it. In scripture, you take a generation at 40 years because of the 40 years in the wilderness. So, if by the time that Adam was 80 years old, you've got a second generation up there procreating, and at 120, you're down to the third generation procreating, so grandchildren could be, and there could have been great grandchildren of Adam alive on the earth at that time. It's a logical sequence. You don't have to accept it. And then you have to accept the fact that Adam was in the garden for a long period of time. But I do. I think it's logical to do so. Without exegeting anything in the scripture. Who was Cain afraid of killing him? If there was nobody left around but his wife and Abel's wife and Adam and Eve. You understand what I'm saying? He would be lying down before anybody would be old enough to come track him. He doesn't say, my father will kill me, Adam. The application of this is that other children would marry Adam and Eve, perhaps even grandchildren, also grandchildren, great-grandchildren by this time. After the birth of Seth, Adam had 400 years and fathered many more sons and daughters, Genesis 5:4. So some of them never mentioned in Scripture they're ignored by most Bible teachers, which is a major mistake. From the fall of Adam to the flood was 1,656 years. And the logical deduction of most of these genealogical lines would extend from birth of the parents of the flood right of them who did not join the Sethic culture or the Kenitic. While the Kenitic culture remained a part of the Adamic culture, in other words, they were neutrals. you've got people who have become active supporters of God and this ethic culture, and you've got people who become active supporters of Satan, the kinetic culture, and you have people who just want to live and survive and remain neutral in the Atlantic culture. However, there are occupations during the culture. And as a result of the curse of Adam, the curse of Adam became the first form in Genesis 2, 3, 17, and 18. The reality is that because I was offered a divorce, that wife has eaten the tree which I have commanded, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground that I say, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. But as thou shalt thus shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and of dust shalt thou return. Sheep were mandated by the Father for the animal blood sacrifice, and therefore the logical of Adam was also a sheep manager. When you put Genesis 4:4, and Abel also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offerings. With Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Since Cain became a father, Abel became a sheep ranch, and logical to include Adam required his children to work on his father's sheep ranch from their youth. Abel was following the sheep ranch, and was hard work by the time Cain and Abel brought their sacrifice, it was proven it could be successful. The primary food supply was fruit and vegetables, Genesis 3, 17 and 19. And the Adam, he said, because thy heart of divorce, thy wife has eaten the tree which I commanded, saying, thou shalt I eat it, cursed the ground when I say him, so shalt thou eat it all the days of thy life, thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And the sweat of thy face, thou shalt thou eat bread, and I return to the ground of all that thou hast taken, for thus art to dust I shall return. However, it does not say that they were forbidden to eat meat. There are many fine theologians that believe that meat was not the primary diet necessarily, but that meat was not forbidden. In Genesis 2:16 it says, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, implying that in the Garden of Eden there was no meat. After the garden, there was a teach there was no meat until the flood. I'm sort of neutral right now on that. I used to take the fact that there was no meat at all. I just accepted what everybody said, and I began to examine it and realize that a number of men were correct in pointing out some of the great Bible teachers that it never says that, and that's assumed. In the Canaanite civilization that was spring up under Cain, we will discover that there was the verse 20 of chapter 4. And Adam bare Jobal, he was the father of such as dwell in tents, as such as have cattle ranching, had been added to sheep ranching in the Canaanite civilization. Now, meat is authorized clearly after the flood. Meat is authorized clearly after the flood. In Genesis 9:3, every living thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given thee all things. And it may be that God, since God had stated that it's really not you, that God put out that man should have authority over all the animals, and he was to use the animals either for work or for food, there had to be a purpose in Adam having been originally placed in authority over all the animals. Now remember that. The verb was tense. The verb "ohana" means "you have," invented by Jeroboam the seventh from Adam in the Kemetic culture. So for at least an extended period of time, perhaps 500 years or more, they were not available to the Adamic culture. Adam was a man who walked with the sun before the fall as the federal headship over the garden and was therefore a man of high intellect. He was illogical to believe that he was a cage, whatever he may have been for a very short period of time. He never would believe he dwelt in caves. I don't necessarily believe that. If so, it was for a short period of time. Cave dwelling was associated with the false teaching of evolution before primitive uneducated man people, because primitive uneducated people lived in caves. Adam was not a primitive uneducated person, but an intellectual person who had been partially educated by the Son of God, Genesis 2:8-25. The Americans were after the type of housing he had in the Garden of Eden, but there was no reason to believe that they slept under the stars. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 14, "In my Father's house, which is in heaven, are many mansions." In my Father's house are many mansions, John 14:2. The Greek word may give us some concept of idea how to understand Adam in the garden. Now I want you to listen carefully and think about what we're going to say. Staying in a residence, an adobe, a mansion, an act or a place. All right. Adam and we know from Isaiah cities on the earth during the dispensation of the angelic world that were destroyed. We looked at that before in Jeremiah 4:23-26. Those of us who hold a gap, and I hold a gap, if you don't, please don't get mad at me. A pastor friend of mine of many years will give me no grace when it comes to gap. His didaskalos for many years, who was a strong believer in gap. Jeremiah 4:23, "I beheld the earth, and the earth was without form and void in the heavens, and they had no light." With the exact same description found in Genesis 1:22. "I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved highly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man. And all the birds of the heaven were fed. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful places was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down in the presence of the Lord, and by his fierce anger." So during the dispensation of the sons of Aaron, which is sometimes called the dispensation of angels, cities existed. In the fall of Satan in Genesis, in Isaiah chapter 14, speaking of Satan, it says verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of Mary? How art thou cut down to the ground, which this week of the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation beside the north, I will sit upon the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell as the sides of the pit. There it shall see thee. Now they look upon thee and consider thee, say, is this the man who made the earth to tremble, and that shaped the kingdoms, and made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoner?" This is not the second advent, as some people thought, when Satan is being removed, because Jesus Christ destroys the cities at the second advent, and Satan doesn't destroy them. implies that our sin is in existence. As you know, Ezekiel 28 also speaks of this concept down there. So, you know, from Genesis 4:16, and Cain was able to build a city in 1 day. Elijah would include them in living, they lived at least in more simply in farmhouses, and some kind of houses were built by Adam and them. Clearly, this is a logical deduction. Why did they wait so long to develop the tents? Because the tents were for the cattle ranchers who would become nomads, or the person of the Kinetic civilization that would move further away with their sheep or with their cattle and all. Adam had a stabilized place that he lived at. I certainly believe that. When time never existed, Cain killed Abel, who was the first murder in Adamic human history, Genesis 4:8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and came to pass when they were in the field. Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. He murdered his brother Abel, cold-blooded, premeditated, fratricide murder. Now, 1 John 3:12, we read about his Cain, and was that wicked one who slew his brother, and wherever he slew him, because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous. It was not a matter, but the matter of his brother about him there. It was also family fratricide. Cain was then demonstrated fear of being killed by the family members, which involved the greatest generation of these members of the human race, and vengeance would soon follow. Once violence was introduced to the Adamic human race by Satan and never departed, John 8:44. The inhumanity of man. The man, John 8:44. No man can come to me except. I'm sorry, that's 6:44. What page you stuck again? 8:44. You love your father better than the rest of your fathers you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, there is a liar and the father of it. Temporal ownership. Adam did not confront Cain for having murdered Abel. Perhaps the murder of Adam had lost his prince regency caused Adam not to take the responsibility that should have fully been there. This demonstrates that Adam was not functioning in his role as the patriarch of the human race to its full extent. This implies that man was doing what was right in his own eyes, Judges 17:6 and 21:25. A vacuum of leadership will always produce and result in anarchy. I like the economic value system by which Adam would have brought it from the man to his family. Genesis 2:8. Lost state. The Lord God planted a garden eastward deed to Mary, put the man in the informant and out of Adam began to establish real estate outside the garden. The garden with all fruits and vegetables. Verse 9, the God made out of the ground, made the Lord God to grow the tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food, the tree of life, and the midst of the garden, tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. What it was, Genesis 2:10, living out of Eden, the water of the garden, and from thence it was parted and came forth. It was water for energy, typified by the word Pisan, meaning flow stream, in verse 11. The water of the first is Pisan, as that which comes with the whole land of Hadar, when there is gold. Water for travel is typified by Gihon, meaning the river, in verse 13. And the land of the second river is Gaia, and the same encompasses the whole land of Ethiopia. Gaia was probably the Nile, one of the geographical changes that occurred at the flood. And the Pisan was believed to be the Ganges, tremendous water systems. Not only as a geographical defense man typified by the river and the Hill Tigris. So the river there. Verse 14:8, and over the third river is Adikiel. That was going to the east of Assyria. This is the ancient name for the Tigris River, as we know. Verified across the livestock usage typified by the river Euphrates, meaning fertile river. Verse 14b. The east of and the fourth river is Euphrates. There was gold. Genesis 2:12a. Where is gold, and B, and where is gold, and the gold of that is good. There was diamond, precious tree sap. Various kinds of tree sap can be used for various things, everything from rubber to maple syrup. To reduce the value of tree saps. Precious jewels, and to have sodiotic stone. Farming in Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it. With 1:29, God said, behold, I have given every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed should be for meat. Animal husbandry. Genesis 2:19. God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was a name. Now, Adam looked over the creatures, observed them, and named them. Did he do it out of one day in a few minutes? No. That's illogical. He observed the lifestyle of the animal as he lived in the Garden of Eden in Genesis. God brought him to encourage the zoo for you there. We learned that in the husbandry. Genesis 1:30 goes with it. And every beast of the earth, every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein lies his life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. We gave him animals, they gave him the herbs. That was the earth. Okay, some of the cultural traits. Some of the cultural is made of believers and believers. Maybe the pastoral is rural and pastoral. So the member had working farmers, sheep ranchers, turning deer, and all the problems of other crops, animal disease, and all the other problems that have gone in these professions over the past 6,000 years. The woman suffered the pains of bearing and raising many children, one of which came through multiple births. The married woman became so occupied with temporal life issues that they went, as they went 106 years with one man worshiping God. With great spiritual and temporal life ownership, it is logical to conclude that each one went his own way, doing that which was right in his own eyes. As people in this culture are very other parts of the world, it is logical to conclude that little positive voice at the point of God consciousness existed as they settled on to work their land and raise their children. Goes along in Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous of men to whom are in the truth and unrighteous, because that which men made known of God is manifest then, for God is shown unto them. For the invisible things of the world, from the creation of the world, invisible things of heaven, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power of the Godhead, as they are without excuse. Because when a new God was born and found him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations, and the foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. There was a weakness there within the culture. The men and women became so occupied with temporal life issues that saved or lost the dead interest personal life marriage over 106 years without unlimited worship of God. With weak spirits and temporal leadership, it was logical to conclude that each one of them was there, and that was the result of their life. As people in this country and in many other parts of the world, it was logical to conclude that they settled down to work their land and raise their children. We come to the the South Atlantic heritage, which we'll pick up in the next class, and the establishment of the kingdom of Seth, a coronation to God. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise that will not return void, but accomplish all you desired for. Which you are sanctified in the blessed name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Say, even so come. Lord Jesus, amen.